It's that great fun time of the week where we get to talk science with Dr. Carl Krzyzanicki, the author of many, many books, including Dr. Carl's little book of climate change science. He's on the phone right now. Hello, Doc.
Ahoy, Dr. Luke. Lovely to be with you again.
Well, it's always lovely to be with you. And I wanted to talk to you this morning about something we keep hearing about in the news, and that is lithium batteries exploding.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they can.
Now,
they can, yeah, there, definitely.
There's been a warning from the government saying, please check your e-bike charges, because Sydney fire crews were called to three incidents within 24 hours in the past week. Then we heard about that lithium car battery that ignited and burned five cars at a parking lot at Sydney Airport not so long ago. But you hear these reports about lithium batteries exploding and catching on fire from all around the world. Dr. Carl, how safe are lithium batteries? It's not that new technology, is it?
Oh, yeah. People won a Nobel Prize for it recently.
So lithium batteries have been around for about how long now?
Oh, 20, 30 years?
That's what I mean. That's not
NASA
new.
NASA was using them in the early days. Oh, there's a lot of new technology. So we had our first batteries probably in Baghdad about 2,000 years ago.
Right. Were they lithium?
Oh, God, no. But they had electric. And the weird thing is that we also had magnets back then. We also had wires. So if somebody had the right insight, they could have actually made electric motors. But that's probably taking us down a wrong path.
Well, we can go down that path on another week.
Another time.
We'll do that in another time. Let's get back to lithium.
So
you are a struggle, Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl.
So we're going down a battery pathway, right?
Stay on the fairway with me.
Yeah, and then we had a combination of two things in the late 1800s, batteries and petrol. And the 2-litre engine in the first effective car, the Power Wagon 3 in 1880, it had about as much power, 2 litres, as an iron.
Oh, really?
That you used to iron your shirts.
Really?
You know, like about 2 kilowatts out of 2 litres. Now we can get 200. So in the early days, there was batteries and petrol cars. And then the thing is that petrol is just loaded with energy. Like the amount of energy in a barrel of oil is equal to the amount of energy that a laborer can put out over 10 years.
Right.
And it's all concentrated in one spot. So the battery technology just did not progress. Mm. And when the Ford company came out with their electric vehicle, they had something like 500 kilograms of batteries to equal the energy in 1 kilogram of petrol.
Right.
And since then, we've gone from 500 down to about 20. So let's just roll right forward. So we've got studies from around the world, and the best ones are coming out of Sweden and Germany. And what they're doing is looking at all of the internal combustion cars and all of their electric vehicle cars. And basically, a lithium battery will catch fire in a car at 1/20th to 1/80th of the rate that a petrol or diesel vehicle catches on fire.
Okay, all right. So
petrol
they're
diesel,
volatile.
Yeah, on a percentage basis, I'm not talking absolute numbers here, because in some countries in the world, electric vehicles are moving ahead, but not Australia. So, but on a percentage basis, petrol and diesel catch on fire 20 to 80 times more than lithium car batteries.
So are lithium batteries safe? Would you feel safe sitting in a car running off a lithium battery?
Would you feel safe in a car running off a petrol engine, which catches fire 20 to 80 times more than...
Well, that's right. We've been sitting in these things for a long, long time. Why do you think it is that we're only now hearing about a spate of lithium batteries? They're everywhere, e-scooters, e-bikes, and in cars. And gosh, you know, your backyard outdoor appliances, your whippersnippers, your lawnmowers now, your leaf blowers, they're all run off lithium batteries. But why do you think we're suddenly hearing so much about them exploding? Lithium batteries are volatile and apparently very hard to put out once they're on fire.
Oh, yeah. They're, what, say, 1/50th as volatile as a petrol car.
Yeah.
If you're in a petrol car, you're 50 times more likely to have a catch on fire than if you're in a random electric car. But then let's look at another issue, right? So on one hand, there's a high degree of governance and careful engineering when you put a battery into an electric car, whereas if you're just buying unknown brand battery that you put into your unknown brand bicycle, people can cut corners. Like, you might have noticed that in Australia, since we stopped having government inspections of new buildings and we shifted over to self-inspection, where the builder would say, gee, I think I did a bad job there. I think I'll spend $50,000 fixing it. The builders chose not to exercise that option and instead declared themselves to be totally safe. So with the cheap chargers, the government is not being involved with the cheap lithium chargers and the cheap batteries. Right. You've got to look around to get a good one.
So you're looking at the quality of the batteries and the quality of the chargers.
And the lack of government governance.
Yep.
So it used to be that houses were checked by a government officer, but now the builder says, oh, I did a terrific job. God, I'm fantastic. Ticks off everything. Absolutely nothing wrong.
Tell me, Dr. Carl, as technology gets better and we make better quality lithium batteries, are you a fan of lithium batteries? Is lithium the future?
Yeah. Now, on one hand, people say that lithium batteries, there's not enough chargers in Australia to run them and charge them up if every car in Australia was an electric vehicle, and that's correct, in the same way that in the early days, motor parts were delivered to the Ford factory by horse and cart, okay? But they've got a different way of looking at them. Now, think about a 100-kilowatt-hour battery in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll run a car, say, 400-500 kilometres, but it will also run an American house for 3 or 4 days, our house here in Sydney for 7 to 10 days, depending on how many people we've got, and my son's flat for 25 days. That's a 100-kilowatt-hour battery. The grid goes down, you got the car parked out the front, it'll run your house for that long. Now, suppose you want to buy this 100-kilowatt-hour battery. And these are American figures, and they're about 6 months out of date. But so bearing in mind they're US dollars. So 100-kilowatt-hour battery is a standalone battery, either $73,000 for Tesla batteries, that's US dollars, or you can buy a Ford F-150, the most popular car sold in America, get the electric version, pay roughly half, $43,000, you get a 100-kilowatt-hour battery plus all the wiring and the software and the cables to run into your house, and you get pay half as much and you get a car thrown in for free. Or you can go to Tesla Spare Parts and buy the battery for about $18,000 to $20,000, the one that they charge $73,000. Mm. And the thing is this, if every house in Australia was associated with a lithium battery vehicle, the whole grid could go down and the dwellings could run for between, I reckon, a week or two. So and also, all those batteries act as an excess to soak up the excess energy from solar and wind when you've got too much energy to burn up at that moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, lithium batteries, you're saying, well, they're volatile, but if you feel unsafe sitting in a vehicle that's powered by a lithium battery, how safe do you feel about sitting on 100 litres of fuel, of petrol?
Yes, it's 50 times more likely to go up in flame.
There you go. Dr. Carl, once again, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Luke.